One, two, ten.
Welcome to the Claim the Throne Blodgecast, coming on you with insights into what it's really like to be in a do-it-yourself metal band in 2014.
Who is it?
You should do your voice at the same time as mine.
Welcome to the Claim the Throne Blodgecast, coming on you with insights into what it's really like to be in a do-it-yourself metal band in 2014.
Who the fuck is it? I'm Cabba.
And I'm Ash.
And thanks for joining us again. This week we come to you proudly with another interview. It is with a friend of ours and a true gentleman and professional, Bernard Shaw from Red Empire Media. So he discusses his history in music videos and the film industry, but also his time in the Perth metal scene with bands Red Descending and Wrath of Fenrir.
Bernard was a good old chap. He gave us heaps of drinks and food, and it was actually the best spread we've had for an interview so far. So pretty happy with that, especially after a long day at work.
Yeah, cheers for all the snacks and the drinks, Bernard. It was very nice of you. He also makes millions and millions of suggestions on how our podcast can get better. The world needs more Bernards to help us out. He tried to interview us, basically.
It was barely an interview. It was more like an intervention. Eh?
Intervention. Yeah, it was, basically. Bernard Shaw, got no four. So without any further ado, enjoy the podcast and thanks for tuning in again. You're listening to the Claim the Throne Blodgecast. Cabra and Ash chatting to a good mate, also a video production genius musician from the bands Red Descending and Wrath of Fenrir, straight from Perth, right out of Western Australia. We're here with Bernard Shaw. How are you going today, Bradiro?
Oh, not bad. Oh, that's talking me up a lot, so I was just going to close my fridge. It's beeping.
Off to a good start.
Let's get this happening.
Thanks for being with us. Like we did say before, you do have your own company in regards to filming. You do have a lot of a background in metal videos and music videos, which is what we're really going to focus on today. I think you'll have some gold nuggets of knowledge that people will really be able to sink their stinky teeth into. We'll just talk about a bit about how you've built your own business and the bands you're playing as well. So yeah, we've given them a bit of an idea of who you are, but do you mind just giving us a bit more of a detailed background? Chat away.
Yeah. Okay. Metal, I suppose, was the most fun and easiest video production field to get into after graduating from uni doing multimedia design, which was like a variety of, master of nothing.
Jack of all trades.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, jack of all trades, master of nothing. So decided to get into the more video side of things, and the love of metal obviously makes it easier to work on and edit a lot of heavy stuff. So started with a Red Descending clip to learn sort of Final Cut Pro, After Effects, those sort of programs, and then did a few others. First one was The Führer, Thrive and War, which was great fun. Then Vestibus Descent, Voyager, and of course Claim the Throne a bit later on. Oh, and Psycroptic, which is, a nice name drop.
Which Psycroptic one did you do? Because I was searching for it.
There's a couple. Alpha Breed. I think I saw it on YouTube a while back. It looks cropped, so whoever uploaded it did a bad job. So, yeah, that was cool. And that was just awesome fun to edit, just because it looks so mad when you watch it. It's just, you just go psycho with editing bands like that. And the Führer, you just put on a massive strobe light, if there wasn't one already there. If you put on the strobe filter, it makes things look a lot more exciting. And I've done that with live clips as well. He's like, oh, this is a boring bit. No, why wasn't the lighting guy doing anything? Like, Jesus. So you just chuck on a strobe light and then it's just black half the time and makes it even more brutal. Don't tell too many people.
No, I won't, except for all three of our podcast listeners.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah, you've been ripping through our first bunch of questions, so I'm going to have to kind of like...
So I got some questions for you, actually.
Oh, really? Do you want to ask them now?
Get through a couple of them.
Welcome to the Claim the Throne Blodgecast. This is Bernard.
I thought it was Splodgecast first time I heard it. I've listened to a couple of your Blodgecasts, and I do like your sultry tones, especially you, Ash. You've got a good radio voice.
Oh, thank you.
And Cabby got a good face for radio. Just the whole setup, like, it sounds like you're in a studio recording this, and it sounds big budget stuff, but then you mentioned that you're just carrying a laptop around. So, I mean, I can see it now, but I couldn't see it before. But I was very interested how you went about this portable blog Lodgecast.
Cabra and I lived together until recently.
As a couple? As a family?
Sexually charged couple. We just had a big iMac set up and we just used to sit in front of it and both talk into one microphone.
That's a bit Beatles, sort of like Paul McCartney, like sharing the mic.
We would get in close enough, but actually we'd sit on a couch.
Tongues touching?
Always touching. Same setup we used to record all the vocals for Forged in Flame.
Is that a joke?
No, serious. We just created a little booth in the room and just sort of sat in it.
Like a cubby house.
But then after a while, we sort of cleaned up the room, got rid of the stuff, and we're trying to do one a week. So we didn't want to set up that every single week.
Did you buy that laptop out of the Claim the Throne funds?
I bought this in 2006 and it cost me $5,000.
Oh, Jesus.
Back when Macs were really expensive. So it's pretty out of date even.
And what's the inputs that you're using?
Just a USB interface. I actually bought this in 2006 as well.
So this is just sitting on my floor at the moment on like a rug. You got the laptop and a few wires hanging around, and Kevin just spilled chips all over himself. All them
kind of free chips, this and guac, pretty good. Yeah, we literally just use these SM58s or even 57s, generally one each at the moment. Cameron and I are sharing, which is why you can't hear Cabba chewing or laughing. Any extra noise and stuff we just take out during mix down, I guess.
And it's all unedited, you don't touch a thing.
It's totally off cuff, man. No, it is actually off cuff. It's just more our,
because I enjoyed the dogs like rocking up and
that's real. Floyd the dog is always under the
Floyd.
Table. He's constantly there, and then he'll just like scoot around the room with his claws, and we'll always tell him off. So there's always big breaks.
And you got like somebody's mum came in or something like that once, and you're like, bug off.
Someone's mum.
Yeah, or I don't know.
Probably Sophie or maybe Floyd's mum.
Variety of mums.
Who knows? But anyway, I've just taken the microphone away from Ash so he can eat chips for a little bit. But actually, it's funny you mentioned, because our episode that was most recently released, the tour wrap-up one, is the first time that me and Ash have ever recorded a podcast via Skype. So me and him in different houses and just sitting there again with these simple little dynamic microphones. And yeah, us just recording our own feeds, and then I just email mine off as an MP3 to Ash and he fixes it all up like a wizard.
You had samples from your tour, which is cool.
We did, yeah. That's all off just the iPhone.
It sounds like a lot of work's going into this, even though it is a little bit simpler than I thought. You don't have to drive to a studio, which is pretty awesome.
The thing is, like, we've found out from slowly and steadily becoming more experienced with podcasts, that the simpler it is, the more effective it seems to really be becoming. And I guess with the Skype thing, we're trying to build that up so that we can interview some more high-profile guests that, you know, aren't in our city or whatever. We were Skyping each other,
Ash to Cabba.
Habit to Ash.
So that's ultimate laziness. Yeah.
Pretty much. Part of it was practice, but also just like press for time, tour coming up. Was like, we actually originally started having a meeting over Skype about what we were going to do for the next, say, three podcasts. And then we thought, bugger it, why don't we just record this while we're doing it? And that was it. So we use Skype, but because I've got this laptop, I just sit the mic in front of me and it's running as if it is now. And Cab has got the same thing on the other end.
Obviously naked.
Totally naked. Usually shirtless. Exposed. Exposed.
You hope you'd be shirtless if you're naked. The other question
has this turned into an interview of us?
Well,
this is out of control.
People want to know who.
All right, proceed.
Claim the Throne is all about, you know.
We're set up here.
Guidelines for podcasting. Like, did you research it, or you just start fucking swearing and just going, you know, if they catch me, you know, let them.
No, you just need to put an explicit language warning on the podcast. Oh, okay. It's all good.
And iTunes are cool with that.
Well, we haven't been arrested yet.
Cool.
For fuck's sake.
The first fucking one we did, we uploaded all of our, our iTunes description, everything that you see in the iTunes feed. Thought we might get rejected if we had explicit language, because we said maybe pussy and cunt once in the whole podcast.
Yeah, just like
this
one.
They're not going to pick this up.
I think in this one we say it twice.
Twice now.
Yep.
Pussy and cunt.
Yep.
And we uploaded that and everything and didn't hear back for 48 hours. And we'd spent the first one took us so many hours to edit and because we're so green, and we had to resubmit it, ticking the box, it's explicit, and then it was up.
To do is
so
tick
someone's
a box.
Reviewed it. Yeah. Cool. That's it.
So
a little E comes up in your iTunes feed for explicit.
Okay, so you can get this off iTunes, and also I checked it out on claimthethrone.net.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just pressed play, which was cool. But, you know, the last one I was listening to it going about my business, you know, and then clicked on a side or something, and then it went away from it. Oh, fuck. So I couldn't get back to it, and I didn't want to have to listen to the first 30 minutes again, so I just bailed.
No one does. But you just, what you do is right next to that player, there's a download button as well.
Oh, okay.
And also, it should be just under in smaller print, or you can get it from iTunes.
Yeah, I'm sure this is really helpful for people like me. you know, newbies to the internets.
Can we come back to the rest of this interview later and can we ask you a few questions? Because yeah. People, I'm sure, have tuned in to find out about some music videos. They hear me and Ash crapping on about things every week, but it's only so a once in a lifetime thing they get to hear from the Bernie Shaw
himself. Hey, for the right price, I'll be back.
Yeah, if we can just touch on the clips again. You did name drop a bunch of bands that you have filmed clips for. That is a very impressive list, I believe.
I did write the list down.
And then you said you did start off by doing your own band, Red Descending. I believe the first one you did was Century, was that right?
No, Slaughter Falls.
Slaughter Falls. So how many video clips have there been that you have been a part of for Red Descending?
I've done all of them.
Which is how many?
I should have written this down. Slaughter Falls, Century, Fragination. You can all find these on YouTube. Apart from Slaughter Falls, which is really good because we all look like young dickheads in that one.
I've got that on VHS, I think.
Burn to Death, and then a couple of live ones, Kings of Torture, Inferno, which is just Ian shredding guitar. You have to buy that on the DVD because it's not on YouTube yet.
Do you think those video clips have become a really big thing of the band? Like, I mean, there's not a whole lot of independent do-it-yourself bands out there that have that many high-profile video clips. I mean, obviously I'm in the band these days, but before I was certainly impressed by the caliber of the videos. I think that makes the band stand out from others.
Well, that was my sort of contribution because Ian does all the recording. He spends hours and hours just mixing, mastering, recording all that stuff. So my contribution was the apart from maybe the lyrics, which don't take too long, was making the videos. And back, you know, a few years ago when I had a lot of time on my hands, you could just sit there, plan a video out, work on it, you know, 6 months later it's all finished. And the highlight probably for those ones is, you know, chucking it on Rage and seeing it on live TV. And then like, okay, you're looking at me as if
you're answering all our questions. Okay. Which is really good. Proceed.
Yeah, we know each other too well. So yeah, that was always awesome, coming home after like a 1 a.m. finish at Northbridge and just staying up till like 2:30 and watching the clip and then going to bed and then waking up in the morning not remembering anything, but recording it on VHS. So there you go.
And I guess with that being in the band and also being the mastermind behind the video clip, with that in mind, what's involved in the entire production of a music video? So in terms of, what, you know, do you have a bigger team, other people that are filming? Because obviously you can't film yourself while you're performing. And then I guess if you don't mind going into like what sort of gear and preparation and editing and storyboards and things like that, give us a rundown of what's involved in making a video clip. Go.
Okay, first get a song. The best thing about making a video clip, and I always love this bit, is not having to deal with any of the audio. Somebody else has already finished that. That's sorted, right? And people say video clips, TV in general, it's 50% audio. If the audio is shit, then the whole thing's shit. So audio is sorted. Awesome. Don't have to bring any radio mics, boom mics. Don't even have to worry about a sound guy. But you do have to record the audio just so you can link it up with the video later on. So bring a massive stereo to wherever you're going to film. But first of all, you got to think of some sort of original idea. Metalheads generally like to see bands playing their instruments to see how technical it becomes. Close-ups of the solo. I feel that really works for metalheads. And that's what I want to see as well. So basically, whatever you want to see. You know, something gruesome, something shocking always works quite well. The last Red Descending one, Burn to Death, had a couple of stuntmen beating the shit out of each other and then lighting one on fire. So that got me going. That was awesome.
And got me going too.
That's right. So yeah, it's handy to have a team of people willing to be involved in a music video. And there's usually a lot out there because help yourself to some more guacamole. There's usually a lot of people wanting to be involved, which is awesome. A lot of people just graduated uni or TAFE or whatever. They want to be involved in the making of a music video so they can make their own. You need a pretty good team behind you. And it was always hard doing the Red Descending ones because I being a cameraman, primarily, it's hard to film yourself unless it's just a selfie, and that's shit. Yeah, you need a good cameraman, and I think Century took the longest to edit because the cameraman at the time is a little bit new to the whole music video experience and wasn't really filming like a metal video should look like. Like, I'm talking crash zooms. That's always an important one. Make it frantic, you know? Don't be too safe. Obviously, you need a couple of safe takes, but you never use them at the beginning. Whenever I walk in to film one of these band shots, you always get the wide shot first, and then you just throw it away. Use the first, 3 seconds, and then you just want to, zoom in on the action, zoom in on the faces, zoom in on the guitars. make it frantic, make it awesome. That's if it's like a fast band, I suppose. If it's, you know, like a Nightwish thing, you do something a bit different. Obviously, the standard thing is to get a storyline together. What I've seen a lot with budget clips, sort of home video style clips shot during the day of like a story, maybe somebody running through a forest or
a warehouse.
Yeah. And it just looks shit. So I'd always recommend filming at night or at dusk, but then you only got like half an hour to film. Never make it 12 o'clock in the day, and your friends aren't going to be very good actors. They're going to be shit and they're going to look like idiots. Try and get older people to do stuff. If you're in school and uni, it's really hard to rope like 30, 40 year olds into doing stuff, but there are a lot of actors out there which are trying to build their show reels. So find them. They'll be on FTI websites, which is the Film and Television Institute down in Freo. Yeah, there's people out there. Check forums. There's always actors saying, I want to get my name out there, willing to work for free. People work for free. So yeah, I mean, that was like a slapstick way of making a music video, but I'm sure there's better forums online which tells you how to do it. The mistakes I always see are just the boring angles. Like, I'm talking like eye level angles of bands. If you want to make the singer look powerful and, you know, brutal and stuff, get down low, film up his nostrils, you know, make it, you know, put fucking blood on his face or something like that. Just make it a bit different, and just try and do the few usual takes. Study a couple of music videos and take screenshots of shots that you do like, and then tell the cameraman to film that shot and tell him not to do any of this bullshit artistic crap, which you don't want. Because he's some indie wanker.
Would you find a lot in the industry that people will actually just like forge their own path and do whatever they want, which might be artsy, wartsy crap? Yeah, good name. Or like, do people actually do research? Because I know with audio and stuff, you know, you give examples of your demos or perhaps things you're listening to, just what's it called? Reference tracks and stuff like that. Like, do they have their own ideas about what they want to be as videographers, or do they still do things like having reference videos or even films and stuff like that? Or,
well, yeah, I checked the other day. It's 10 years since I graduated uni, which is makes me feel real old. In that year, they said, said make your own website, so you had your own showreel on there. So maybe there are people out there which have, you know, a showreel to show their work off. Otherwise, they'd always have like final year projects, whatever that might be. And if they're into that kind of dark scene, if it's metal or, you know, horror movies, which would work for your kind of style, then they would have something to show for themselves.
Yeah, so you've got to pick by genre kind of thing.
Yeah,
you do have to stick close.
One thing I think, I used to go to local gigs and film just live sets just to get the hang of it and to get practice. So I filmed like a Pathogen set and then gave him a DVD afterwards saying, oh, look, this is one of your live songs. Went backstage to a Voyager gig and filmed them just like mucking around and then filmed that live set and sort of made like a little behind the scenes video for them, which was, you know, not great, but at least showed what I could do for them. And then they paid us like $500 to do their first video. So there are always guys hanging around with video cameras. So you just got to chat to them and find them, because it is an awesome, fun process if you got the time. The editing just takes so fucking long.
That's interesting. I was just going to ask, what is it that you've enjoyed about making music videos? And more importantly, what have you not enjoyed about making music videos? And I guess maybe editing you don't enjoy, and, you know, doing live stuff you do enjoy, or, you know, anything like that.
Live stuff is great. You don't have to direct anything. You can get some really cool angles. Bring a couple of cameras down, tell your friends just to go crazy with a camcorder or something like that. It all works out. If the footage looks shit on like the second or third camera, just put some weird filter on it, make it black and white. It looks awesome. Tell people that's the style you went for, you know, start to get wanky. We've always had awesome fun, especially when the band brings down like a block of beer. I think Vespers Ascent brought down a block, which was fun to film with. But like, yeah, we did that in a car yard, which was cool. It's always broken up cars and shit. Führer was Louis's basement. We've all been there. Right at one stage, so that was cool. We smoked it out, fucking cool lights and stuff, and the band just goes nuts. Psychroptic, that's the first time I actually saw them, was when I was filming them, and I was just like, wow, these guys are going nuts. they actually calm down quite a lot on stage because they've got to play that shit. You know, they got to play the right notes and they play some tricky shit. So I was just like, oh, this is not the way these guys play at all. But yeah, you know, it looks awesome. So that's the fun bit. The shit bits are when you're running out of time. Things always go way too long. I think The Devil and Me shoot the first one. We usually only take 1 or 2 days. So you're not like in it for like weeks or whatever. But the first day, I think we finished at like 3 o'clock in Jandakot. I was just like, oh, so fucking tired. Then we did the rest of the shoot at DeVille's pad. Can't remember what time we finished then, but that was another long day. It's cool fun seeing bands which you like and directing the band members and stuff. You just got to know what you're doing if you're directing or you're doing the camera before you walk in there and chat to the band. Make sure they don't have any crazy ideas that you can't pull off with you guys as well. When I filmed Set Sail on Hell, you guys just like, yeah, well, just do whatever. Got some fucking alpacas, let's butcher them.
A musician's hard to work with. Like, do they expect a lot out of you for a very, very minimum budget?
Yeah. Good. No, I'll expand on that. Yeah, well, when I graduate, I'm like, oh, you know, a cool job would be just to do music videos for bands all the time. And there's a company in who I used to always check out. They've probably gone under now. They've probably gone bankrupt because no one buys albums, really. And so bands don't get any money. Therefore, record companies and production houses go bust. So that's a shame. And when there are still like a few big ones, like have you seen the last Within Temptation video?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I mean, the song is a bit...
Not tempting.
Not tempting. It's just your typical sort of pop metal stuff. But the video itself is just incredible. It's just like, hey, remember the video game Fallout?
Yeah.
That kind of theme with, you know, those fucking guys coming in and blowing the shit out of people. It's that. And it just looks fucking amazing. And it would have cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to make. And you look at that and go, that's awesome. And if you try and pull that off by yourself with like a $200 budget, it's going to look fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
So bands probably come up to you and they go, yeah, we want something like that. And you're going to go, nah, man, let's choose something else, eh?
So what is a budget like then for a local... like Perth scene music video to look good?
Yeah, well, it depends what you really need. Camera hire, if you want a decent camera, it's going to cost a few hundred, or if you can get borrow one from somebody. I got a lot of people to work for me on one of the Redesani ones, but then I had a lot of favors to repay later on. So there's no such thing as a free lunch there. No, didn't have to do that, Cabba. Pull your hand out of your pants. If you got like a camera hire, a cameraman, a location is really important. Can get them for free if you do a bit of searching. If you talk to councils, deal with their bullshit, you know. I'm talking like 20 or 30 phone calls to councils to get, you know, that old electrical yard down in South Frio that Fear Factory used?
Yes, I do.
Can you describe it any
better? Yeah, it's a big old power warehouse, pretty much, yeah. Like a giant thing, but it's all fenced in and apparently it's dangerous. It's live electricity in parts of it. Who knows? Yeah.
Well, I mean, Fear Factory did it, right? And I was calling up City of Frio or whoever is involved. Could be O'Connor, it was a while ago. Mm. But I called up and they're like, oh, no, you can't go in there. That's managed by these people and it's very dangerous. I'm like, well, you know, Detroit band Fear Factory managed to film there. I was there a few months ago.
They do that illegally?
Well, the cops came, sure, but then they disappeared after the management chatted to them. So I don't know what the deal was with that. How's the health and safety for that one?
Yeah.
I mean, the director fell over and cut his leg open.
Shit. So did you end up actually getting in and did you end up getting through that?
Oh, no, we bailed on that. That was one of the early ideas. We ended up going to Mountain Quarry and carving up that area, which is cool. Mountain Quarry in Darlington, I think it is. Check it out, people.
So that's obviously a big thing, is just to like go somewhere that's essentially public space so you can do what you will. Yeah, or even then, permits and stuff. Do you still run into that?
The other thing is it's great to have power. If you're filming at night, you need lights or some massive bonfire or something like that. Power is a difficult thing. A typical metal video, say it's a warehouse, a forest. The Set Sail and Owl one, that was, we're at a farm, weren't we?
Yeah, it was at a friend's house. They just had a big property. And obviously they had all the alpacas and things, so we just pretty much made ourselves comfortable in there.
Yeah, I mean, that was awesome. For a day. We ran these massive cables out of their house or some shit.
Yeah, yep.
And then we filmed as the sun was setting, and that got really hard because we're like racing against time, and then we started putting the lights up, and then the continuity sort of messed up a bit, but it didn't really matter. I think we pulled it off nicely.
Yeah, yeah. No, that did the close ups really at the end. Successful clip for us, so yeah. Thanks, Bredero, and that was a pretty cheap one for us as well. So we were lucky that, I guess, the only expenses we had at all were, you know, gear hire, your labor, you know, some lights and cameras. obviously, and a bit of catering, so food and drinks for people.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. But, yeah, we filmed it all in one day. I mean,
that was all one day, yeah.
Took a while.
And that's the thing. I mean, is it realistic for bands to think that they can do a clip of reasonable quality in a day or in a weekend with a couple of grand? Is that realistic?
Yeah, I definitely think you can pull it off like that. It's a nice break for a lot of filmmakers to make a video clip on, like, a weekend. As long as it doesn't cut into their own work schedule, then they can afford to have a bit of fun, especially if they got some creative ideas or they want to enter the film into, like, a festival or competition or something like that, or just boost up their show reel. So have a chat to them, find out what works for them. Say, you know, Cabba, with you, when you had that alpaca farm, that just made the videos just, like, wicked. We've got the, what is it called, the highlight?
The focal point?
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, we had that, and that was just, like, wicked. We know what we're doing now. I mean, you guys rocked up in the morning, and we had to make a little storyline to get to the alpacas. So we made that up as we went along, but they are short little scenes, and a filmmaker should be able to figure that stuff out. It's good to have, a couple of people helping out. But I think most of the clips I've done, apart from maybe a couple of red-descending ones and the Voyager one, have all been filmed in one day. It takes a lot to get everyone there in one spot, but basically have it all done with one day in one day, and then the editing is going to take a fair amount of time depending on what you want from it. So,
but that's it with that clip. That was just before I joined the band, but I remember seeing it and thinking, holy shit, Bernard did this? You definitely stepped up game. And then I find out that you didn't charge that much, and it's clear that you spent that on hiring of gear, maybe a few logistical things, and possibly just the filming.
I think we paid the cameraman $300-$400 for his time.
Now, obviously editing was just a freebie, right? Because, I mean, how many hours of editing would there be in a 3.5 minute film clip?
Probably about 30 to 40
hours. That is,
people. Yeah, 30 to 40 hours. The Century one was more like 100 hours because really? I had, like, really bad footage and had to fucking fix it. I think one of the easiest ones was the Fragile Nation one Red Descending did. I just thought I'd do something different, so I did a complete storyline version of that, and that was a lot easier to piece together. A few effects on top. The Voyager Devil and Me, that took quite a long time because we had the band and also the storyline. What else? Fuhrer and Psychroptic back in the day. That was that didn't take too long, but probably still about 30 hours each. Yeah, Vespa's Descent, probably 30 hours, which is still not that long, but in the end, if you get paid like a grand, it's like $5 an hour or something.
Yeah, you're putting so much time into that, and the band doesn't get it. Yeah. And they're asking, you know, oh, when's the next draft? And, oh, you just changed these few things. But, I mean, like, with the audio thing, it's the same. There's so much nitty-gritty behind-the-scenes stuff to piece everything together that people don't realize. So, when they get a big quote, I know a band who got quoted $5,000 or something from a guy who's only done one or two film clips before, or maybe one for a very low budget and for an unknown band, but he's probably just factored in that editing time into his quote.
Yeah, and he's probably not being rude. He's probably got other ways to make an income. He's probably not a fan of whatever band he's quoting for, and doesn't have sort of people hanging out to work on stuff for free. Like, I think for the Burn to Death clip, I had a couple of people already saying to me, oh, you know, let us know when your next video is. Like, I'd love to help out with that one. I'd love to be a part of it. So I was just like, oh, sweet, you know, like, then you can charge a bit less. But if you're going up to everyone and saying, I need to hire you for that day, it's like, okay, my day rate is this much. So it's a bit annoying. With the editing as well, like, one of the clips we did put heaps of effects on it, and then the computer just shat itself. So I had to take it to some other guy, and he spent like another sort of 3 or 4 hours just trying to take the effects off without it quitting. I mean, that was a few years ago. Hopefully that will never happen again, but the computer wasn't that powerful. We put on all the effects as we went instead of just getting the whole video right and then chucking them on. And so if the band walks in and sees a draft without any effects on, they're going to go, oh, this looks pretty shit. Yeah. And then you'd be like, oh, God, you know, it's actually going to look pretty good, guys. And they'll be like, well, I reckon you should do this and this and this. And then you got like 4 or 5 people just in your ear just going, this sucks. So you need somebody to take control and then just to work it out with the editor or the director. As a filmmaker, you've got to just say to them, oh, look, I only want one person coming down. Tell the band leader or, you know, vocalist, usually they're the most pedantic ones, to come down and sort yourself out, Cabba.
So on that, I guess, with computer crashes and stuff, what sort of gear do you run for a typical film clip?
It's usually, we've had a few iMac setups. I mean, this is the Mac point of view, but Adobe Premiere is apparently, I've heard really good things about it in the last few years. Apparently equal to Final Cut Pro 7. And these days, Final Cut Pro 7 is discontinued, which is a pain in the ass. So, but also I've heard good things about Final Cut Pro X becoming easier to use and more like 7. So we're in a bit of a weird point right now with editing. I can't really be bothered moving to Premiere and learning that, although I'm sure it wouldn't take too long. But Final Cut Pro X, I've used that a few times, seems right, but I'm not confident in backing up or moving the project to another computer, that kind of thing. Maybe opening it up in 6 months' time after you start editing it, things might be all over the place. Not too confident with that right now, but so that's why I still use Final Cut Pro 7. But probably by the end of the year, I'll change that. After Effects is awesome for special effects. That's Adobe, so that runs on both Premiere and through the Mac into Final Cut Pro. So yeah, all good programs. Motion as well is a sort of dumbed down version of a special effects program, but it has worked for us in the past to get some pretty unique effects and composite modes from that, so it all could work for you. So yeah, I recommend just taking a small bit of footage, bringing it into one of these special effect programs, trying some stuff out, then dragging it back into Final Cut Pro or Premiere to see how it looks before you start doing the whole 4 minute clip. With that in mind, try and make the band choose a song which is really short. I think I told you that with Set Sail and Al. That's why it didn't take 100,000 hours.
Doing a video clip for 8 minutes.
Yeah.
With audio.
Sort of Falls was like 6 minutes, and that was my first ever attempt. I was just like, oh, this sucks.
Ambitious.
Yeah, it took a year.
So once your project's done, I guess yourself, you've had videos on Rage, YouTube, and more recently things on DVD as well. Are there different formats to consider when exporting, or even do you need to keep that those technical specs in mind when you're doing the filming?
I'd always stick to PAL. I mean, we're in Australia. Europe can take it. Yeah, screw America. They stuffed up with NTSC. Last time I checked, Rage was still accepting beta tapes, and I still cannot believe that do that. I mean, have you submitted something recently?
We were thinking about it with our latest one, and then we were just doing some research, asking a lot of people how to do it, looking into
doing our own research.
Definitely is beta. And then we just stopped doing research and could not be bothered anymore, so just never really. And the thing is, if we go to all that effort, it'll probably cost a couple hundred bucks to get it onto beta.
Yep.
And then, how many people are really watching Rage at 3 a.m. in the morning?
Like 40,000.
40,000?
Yeah.
Well, maybe a good investment then.
Yeah, hell yeah. Apparently, that's like the number of people that listen to nighttime national radio, 40,000.
The same sort of people that are calling like talkback quiz nights?
Well, hopefully not. I mean, a lot of them might be just drunkens coming back from the nightclubs, right? But it'd still be a shitload. I mean, 22 million people in Australia. It's on TV. It's free to wear.
Yeah.
Chuck it on.
Yeah, I guess so.
Get involved.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it seems crazy. If you can get a clip on YouTube that easily, you'd think, TV would want to be able to just take something off YouTube and put it on air.
Is that the same for all TV? Like, if you were to film a 30-minute TV show, is that on beta as well? Or have you never sort of gone down that route?
I think ABC is just lagging behind, I think. And also, I think they're trying to stop millions of entries coming in. Like every Tom, Dick and wanker just posting something on beta tape, they're going to think twice.
Probably solved it right there. That'd have to be it, right?
Yeah, I reckon. I rang out once and said, oh, when's my video going to be played? And they're like, oh, look, it's in the pile.
Yeah.
And you keep checking each week. And then finally it came up and was like, sweet. And then lucky with Century, it got played five weeks in a row. And was like, wow, that's like too much. We don't deserve that.
So with that consideration of getting it onto beta, do you still film the same way you'd film as if you were sticking it on YouTube or a DVD?
Yeah, and beta's standard definition. So, you're not going to get a high-definition video on Rage, which sucks a big bag of balls as well.
But does that mean, like, can you still film in high def and then bounce it down or something?
Yeah, yeah. So, you do that through the editing system. It doesn't take too long.
Film school would sort all this stuff out for you, right? Like, that's where you learn all your knowledge, or was that on the job?
Yeah, yeah. And depends which film school you went to.
Okay.
But TAFE students should have all the technical stuff.
Yeah.
Uni students, they're like, go figure it out yourself. But these days, YouTube's the best thing ever. I ring up my business partner and said, oh, how do you do this? And he's like, have you checked Google? I'm like, okay, check Google. And there's your answer.
Yeah.
So all the answers are online, which is so much easier than it used to be. Hey, 10 years ago, there was no one online, no answers. Stuff which used to take you all day to figure out, and now these other douchebags have been through it, and you can just sponge off them. It's like a library, but online.
And free. And you don't have to leave your house.
Yeah, sweet.
Or put on your clothes.
That's the most important part.
Free ball, guys, all the way.
So I'm going to ask you a few things, and you're going to answer them. Lightning round, like what Kappa said before.
Lightning round.
Claim it through on lightning round.
Lightning round. Featuring.
What camera would you suggest for a band on a budget that was looking to make their own film clip?
I like to say 2, 5D.
Canon 5D?
Yeah, Canon 5D, if the operator has the skills to focus, because it has a very narrow depth of field.
And unlike also, us in this podcast.
It's got a narrow depth of field and you need good lenses. So
what sort of budget are we looking at for a 5D and a couple of lenses?
Not much. Probably the cheapest ones you can get, actually. Probably under $200 for a whole day, which is really good.
You're talking about hiring. So a higher camera, Canon 5D. But if you had to purchase one on a low budget, is there anything you could recommend? Even just a ballpark, early model Nikon or something like that? Or even better, what features would you like in something that is cheap?
We actually, Red Empire doesn't really do too much photography. That's redempiremedia.com.au for your listeners. but we did buy a Canon 7D, which is quite a good camera. It is a couple years old now, but it's always done its job. It also does video. That's why we bought it, because we wanted to try out some video features. We still only got the one lens of it with it, but we picked it up secondhand for like $1,100 or $1,200.
Okay, pretty reasonable.
Yeah, that came with a card. There's a lot of people out there who think, oh, you know, I'm going to get into photography. You know, I'm going to be awesome. They buy the camera, take a couple of shots. Oh, fuck, this is boring. And they just sell it on Gumtree, right? Mm-hmm. So that one still had like a warranty with it, which is
really
awesome. Yeah, that's what you're going to look for when you get secondhand.
And what I like about that price is people won't say that's cheap. You know, $500 is cheap, maybe, for gear. But if you think about your bass guitar, or if you're a drummer, one cymbal, or, you know, an amp, that subwoofer down there, you know, like everything's more than $1,000, right? So if you're thinking doing one at least serious project with a camera, $1,100 is pretty sweet. Especially with warranty, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So do you want lenses, or can you get away with...
You can get away with what you had. I mean, it depends what kind of feel you're going for. I mean, I think the Fuhrer, we had a fairly budget camera that time. It was a 3CCD camera, which meant it had a good sensor in it, but it was standard definition. It wasn't as sharp as the stuff you might see on telly. We managed to pull off the Fuhrer video, and they were pretty stoked with it. And that was a camera which cost $1,000 probably about 12 years ago. So there are a lot of options out there for around about $1,000. But then you also got to think about cards. As long as you've got sufficient room for cards, the Canons, the 5Ds and stuff like that, they don't have very good audio inputs. So, but that doesn't really matter for music videos. Mm-hmm. So that's all right. So don't worry about that. But in terms of, I suppose a camera which is not like a photography camera, which has been converted into a video camera, then Sony do some pretty good stuff. A lot of secondhand cameras like the 7D going around, which do high definition. And most of the time, that's high definition, 1440 by 1080, some shit like that.
So you don't necessarily have to get full Xbox 360 or whatever.
That's
the
right.
Hell it is. Yeah.
I mean, I've never put any of my video clips on a Blu-ray. You can upload high definition stuff to YouTube, but it'd be a massive file. And when you get down to it, you probably go, oh, fuck it, I'll just upload a standard definition. People will be able to play it faster as well. Rage is only going to play standard definition, but generally if you buy a camera which has a high definition feature, then you're going to be able to have a lot of other options on it as well, unless it's one of those camcorders which says, you know, 1920 by 1080 HD, and then you're like, yeah, but it's just got some wicked recording device but shitty lens, right? So probably lenses I'd go for first. Manual controls, like manual focus, I always look for that in a camera. If it doesn't have one of them, then I wouldn't bother buying it as a sort of even a budding filmmaker. It's really important to be able to control your focus manually rather than your camera just guessing the whole time.
As far as a memory card goes for the camera, how big are you looking for, let's say, a day's shooting? Or would you want a couple of spares or something?
You would love a 64 gig card, but I think 32 would be fine.
Okay, cool. Gig.
Or you can just bring a laptop, film a bunch of stuff, transfer it over, clear the card.
Okay.
Back up it to another hard drive so you don't fucking piss everyone off by losing your card or getting it formatted.
And then would you use that same laptop you're probably dumping stuff onto? Would you also be using that for your editing if you were on a budget?
Yeah, if your computer's newer than, say, like 2005, 2006, and it's not filled up with crap, running really slowly, then you could probably edit something pretty basic without too many effects. Otherwise, anything that you can buy now should be able to run it. Just look at the tech specs on whatever video editing software you're going to buy on the net. Just just see what it requires. Make sure that the computer you buy can handle it. I mean, we've got a couple of iMacs right now, which are more than 2 years old, but they kick ass. Like a couple of years ago, everything seemed to become fast enough to be able to perform video editing techniques and effects and tricks and stuff like that. So that's awesome news. Because 12 years ago, you were just like the first video I did was just like, only one computer that I knew of, and that was at university somewhere, could handle what I was trying to do. And I had to like spend all night there sometimes just waiting for stuff to render. It was horrendous.
Onto the programs and stuff, you mentioned Final Cut Pro 7 and possibly having to move to X. If you were on a budget, are there like lighter versions of those programs you can use?
Final Cut Pro X is more of a light version. Apple bought Final Cut and they decided to discontinue the sort of pro program and pro price, and they decided to make it more of a consumer item, which I think it's only like $300 or $400. I can't remember what it is now, but that's what Final Cut Pro X is. And if you can get good at that, then that's a very affordable way to do it. Don't know what Premiere costs these days, but if you've got a PC, then you're probably hacking stuff anyway, so you probably already have a copy of it. You know, wanker.
As far as with audio things go, I know I have to have an external hard drive that I run all my media off. Are you doing the same thing with video?
Yeah, we've got 30 terabytes of hard drives just sitting there backing up people's projects. People say rule of three, always have your project on three different drives, at least the raw footage, because you don't have a tape there to back it up. But we put at least all our raw footage on two drives and then sort of hide them in to be safe. But you don't want to run too many projects off just the internal hard drive, because it fills up really quickly and you want to save that space just to keep the computer running nice and quick.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so then for a pretty reasonable price, you can set up for an on-the-go sort of budget clip, right?
Yeah, a lot of people are buying these sort of 5D, 7D, the sort of Canon cameras. I'm not sure what the Nikon does in terms of videos at the moment, but they record video really well, and then you can chuck them into your iMac or PC nicely.
So, yeah, cool.
And Movie Maker, and I think iMovie.
iMovie.
Yeah. I haven't used them for years, but they might be.
I hate them. Really? I used to use the old iMovie to do my farthing wheel videos, but yeah.
Oh, I haven't heard that for a while.
If you're a band on a budget, but you don't have the desire to become a film clip producer, cameraman, a director, whatever, reasonably, what would you be looking at for some sort of a quality film clip of, let's say, Set Sail on Owl by Claim the Throne?
It could go on like somewhere like FTR. Or I don't know if Curtin Murdoch have, or Edith Cowan have, the sort of video forums. You could go on there and say, hey guys, got $500 or $1,000 to work with. This is a song I want to make a video clip for. Is anyone interested in helping me out? You might get a few pitches there. That's if you don't sort of know anyone in the industry that is sort of itching to help you out, because they're the best people to use. Somebody who enjoys what they're doing, does it as a hobby, or, you know, aspiring filmmaker. But yeah, that's probably what you could say. Give a price, and if it's like $1,000, you could say to them, "Lord, look, a couple other people have shown their interest. So could you show us what kind of stuff you've done before?" And they would have presumably done some stuff in film school, and then they can show you like a clip. And then you go, "Cool, I'd like to use your services. Let's meet up. Let's have a chat." I spoke to Amon Amarth when they came over the first time and said, "Oh, how did you guys go about your film clips?" And, you know, these are like 30 grand film clips. And he goes, "It's the same process. You go up to the director, you have a couple of beers with him. Director says, 'Oh, what kind of stuff you want, guys?' And they say, 'Oh, you know, in the modern mass sort of
fire.'
Yeah, you know, fire, sitting around drinking on some sort of throne, which I probably stole from you guys. And, you know, horses galloping." And he goes, "Yeah, no worries." Goes a bit of a storyboard. You got to be fairly lenient with the director. They have their own ideas. They want to produce some stuff, and then see how it goes. Things like alpacas, horses, they make it wicked.
If you had your time again and you were that budding, just finished school, wannabe film producer, and you didn't have your own band, how would you go about pricing your projects? How would you go about monetizing that side of the business?
Interesting. I mean, like when I did the first Voyager one, it was sort of, you know, over 10 years ago. But like I said, I sort of filmed them live a couple of times, just fiddled around with some editing there. And then they said, "Oh, could you make a video clip for us? How much would that cost?" So to say, what's involved? What kind of stuff do you want from it? And then I think, you know, it's $500 to get three people out there and to edit the whole thing, which is just to basically cover all the costs of the people, make sure they're not out of pocket for their time. You don't want somebody like spending $50 worth of petrol to drive around and film a clip and then not getting anything out of it. So basically pay for the costs it takes to create the clip and to spend that sort of extra yard doing the edit or to find an editing guy and all the messing around with hard drives and transfers and stuff like that. So you could probably get something for $500 pretty easily, depending on what kind of stuff you want. The easiest one is might be to say to a venue, or can we use this for a couple of hours just to make a bit of a live sort of video take, and then maybe film the crowd later, or not bother about that at all and just make it one of those sort of 70s, 80s sort of stage live clips. Then that would be the easiest way to get your band onto YouTube, or to get one of your creations, one of your film creations onto the internet to then boost you to that next level of film creation with a professional band like yourselves.
You're listening to the Claim the Throne podcast. We're with Bernard Shaw of Red Empire Media. Oh, hi, Bernard. It's Cabba here from Claim the Throne, mate.
Hey, Cabba.
You're a co-founder of the company Red Empire Media that has become an established professional business that does provide you with a lot of work. How did you go about turning your passion from all these metal videos we've been talking about into a business and starting to focus on different areas like wedding videos and corporate videos as well? How was that progression from hobby to business?
Well, this is more of a sort of career counseling nowadays. All right, so obviously bands aren't going to pay for your rent or your mortgage, right? So you've got to figure out other ways to enjoy what you do, but also make money from it. So we started off with a couple of corporate things, but you know, it does take a while to learn the corporate trade, At that time, I was assisting in another corporate company, so slowly learning the tools of the trade from them. But then, I suppose, you know, also doing a bit of pizza delivery. You know, film is pretty hard to get into, and you know, I had my parents sort of saying, "Oh, when are you going to get a real job? You know, is this gonna progress?" And you're like, "Yeah, I'm sure it will," not knowing that it would, but thank fuck it did. So then, yeah, just finding something which I thought I'd be good at, you know, me and my business partner, Jeremy. So we decided to get into video, wedding videos, because we saw a couple that were fucking shithouse, and coming from a corporate sort of way of thinking, we thought we could do an awesome job at wedding videos for these poor people who were just getting a fairly average job. I mean, there are some really good other wedding video companies around, but at that time there were a couple of douchebags hanging around doing a shitty job. So we got into that, and that gave the regular sort of income stream to then bounce to more corporate stuff during the week and fill in the gaps there. So I suppose you gotta have patience. It's like being in a band. Like you play the shitty gigs, you do stuff for free. The first couple of wedding videos we did were for free. The first couple of corporate videos we did were, you know, $500. You know, not much more than a music video for a local band. So you just gotta keep honing in, and also don't be afraid to, you know, do a bit of pizza delivery on the side, whatever it is, just to keep you going for that period. Because you don't become the next Steven Spielberg overnight by you know, just jumping into it. So
I have three quicker questions. One, did your business turn from this to this, and now we are in the house of your business, aka did you fund this house out of your business?
Yeah, pretty much. The last couple of years have been awesome. Like, I remember talking to a friend after like 2 or 3 years of doing like the wedding stuff and advertising big time. You got to spend a lot of money on advertising. You just think, is this a fucking waste of money? You build websites that don't work. You do Google adverts that don't work. You're just like, oh man, you're throwing all this money away. And then suddenly it just sort of happens. And then suddenly you get this. Yeah, you get clients knocking on your door wanting dates, and you're just like, that's wicked. Yeah, I can film then. And suddenly things are happening. So it is definitely a slow process. I remember feeling bad for charging, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 for a wedding video. But then my business partner said, look, you know, you got doctors charging this much per hour. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, they do 7 years of study for that. He's like, well, how many fucking years have you done? Like, you do a degree for 3 years and you do like 4 or 5 years worth of, you know, work behind the scenes, building up the business, you can fucking charge this much. And that's a hard thing to work out, because people don't tell you that at university. They don't say, you know, you guys are now worth X amount per hour. you're just going to figure that out and just wait for somebody to eventually pay you that amount of money and then go, yeah, actually, shit, I am worth this much per hour. I'm giving you my time, so I'm creating an awesome project. So there you go. It does eventually happen if you stick with it. It's one of those cliche things, but...
It won't happen overnight, but it will happen.
That's right. You know, I think I was on the dole for a couple of months. It's all good.
Where do you want to take this? Do you want to move into film, or are you happy going down the corporate road, or do you want to be a famous producer of music videos for bands?
Well, yeah, I mean, that is obviously the pipe dream, probably. Music video producer for bands. I mean, if Springsteen was here a couple of days ago, if he said to me, oh, look, I really love the Set Sail on L video. I'd love to do one myself. And we go, sweet as. Bruce, you're the boss. Fucking let's do this. But, I had a film guy tell me once that, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a film or music video or like a safety video or wedding, you've got a list of shots you have to get and you know how to get them. So it's always the same process if it's a corporate video or a film. So it's always, it's easy to jump into this or that if I can. Like if the opportunity comes out, that would be awesome. If I could, you know, do like a series like 24 is like probably my favorite television show at the moment, and that's coming out in a few months. And also I was going to mention to your listeners, Season 1 of 24 has like a pretty metal soundtrack underneath, so check it out.
I've watched Season 1.
Yeah, what did you think of the soundtrack?
I can't remember the music.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was all right. It was just like, it's a lot different to any other TV show that was on at the moment. It was like sort of grungy stuff, but it's still all right. But yeah, film might be the go one day. Who knows?
What's next for Red Empire Media?
We've got a natural energy, wave energy project that we're filming at the moment, which is very exciting. We managed to get up in a helicopter over Garden Island and film all that kind of stuff. So that was a highlight for us. And that's going to make an awesome corporate video once it starts to get edited in a few months. So that's definitely a highlight for our business. I mean, the weddings, still enjoy them. You know, you get to hang out with awesome people. Everyone's happy and you get a few drinks.
Hot brides?
You know, they're all beautiful to me.
Would you or have you filmed porn?
Have I? No. Would I? Depends what kind of porn. What kind of porn are you thinking? Lloyd or what's the dog's name?
Floyd the dog and Gypsy scissoring. I don't know. Just
is Gypsy another dog?
Gypsy is Floyd's sister, yeah. Essentially.
Okay. It's a bit or of incest
wife,
porn.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe some incest porn, nugget porn.
Keep it the family.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever, man.
Sorry to interrupt.
For the right price, bring it on. Dog porn. Jesus. Is this what this is falling down to?
Proceed with your wedding talk. Go on. So you were telling us about how hot all the brides are.
But also clips, do you have any metal music video clips on the horizon, or are you searching for those things currently?
Not really searching for them, because they take so much time to edit. I love filming them, but it's just the edit process which really takes it out of you. And I remember, I think, what was the last one? Oh, yeah, Burnt to Death was the last one. That was over a year ago now, but I was just like exhausted. Not from the filming, not so much from the editing, because that was awesome fun, although it did distract me from work for like 2 or 3 months, which wasn't good for my career. But because of the amount of bullshit I had to go through to get permission to light a couple of guys on fire, you know, in the summer near the bush. But the amount of phone calls I had to make to fire departments, councils, it was just never ending, and it was such a pain in the ass. It's like, yeah.
Out of control. So are there any services you think you could offer to our listeners these days? What are you available for?
Yeah,
weddings and corporate, is that where it ends?
Yeah, weddings and corporate probably at the moment. I've spent last 10 years doing at least one sort of metal video per year, I think. A lot of the time it's Red Descending, which gives you a lot of satisfaction because you're not really getting paid too much from the other ones anyway. Even though it's awesome to build a portfolio and to look back on these clips. So that has really, sort of taken too much time, probably looking back out of my career and stuff. So probably just corporate and weddings at the moment. And that's working out really well. So want to keep it that for a while, maybe do the occasional Red Descending one if I do get a bit of time in the winter. But always happy to help out and direct people in the right direction if they to know about how to make a fun metal video.
Awesome. Always glad to hear things like that. And how do people get in touch with you, man? Email address, website, bands, YouTube, what's
going on? Just go to redempiremedia.com.au or flick us an email, bernard@redempiremedia.com.au. I get plenty of spam anyway, so happy to.
Where can people find all these Red D clips?
Red Descending has a YouTube page. I think it's just... Is it youtube.com/redascending? I don't think it is.
I think it, or Redascending Official maybe, or is that Facebook?
That was MySpace.
We'll find out and put them in the show notes. So all you people out there, if you're still listening by now, good cunts, and make sure you read the show notes. Check out Bernard's projects, his bands, Redascending, Wrath of Fenrir, all of the awesome video clips he has done. And we're going to take you out now on a Redascending song of Bernard's choice.
Oh, sweet. Oh, we'll make it burn to death and then they can watch the video clip afterwards.
Totally good call. Thanks heaps for being with us. Bradiro Shaw, Bernard Shaw, Red Empire Media. Check him out. And yeah, if any people out there have picked up anything from this podcast, then we're really grateful. I'm sure they've learned heaps. And just like you said, a bit of patience and you'll definitely succeed in your goals and go from this
to this. Thanks for the opportunity.
Far out, Bernard Shaw. Thanks for that one, you crazy cat. And thanks to all the listeners for still sticking around. I'm sure you learned plenty on that podcast. And so I hope you've taken some notes. And if you've got any questions for Bernard or for us, don't hesitate to get in touch.
A lot of hot tips there.
No, that was very handy to get, an outsider's perspective on our podcast, which he was very passionate about. But also, obviously to learn a bit about his time in local metal bands. So he does know a lot, and being able to combine that in the video and film industry, it's generally quite rare to find people like that that do have also such exposure to the metal scene. So hopefully that came off very relevant to what our listeners would be keen on hearing. And it is good to see, even a dummy like Bernard, who's just as dumb as us, doing something that he's passionate about and loves. So anyone can do it out there. Not us, unfortunately, but I'm sure you can use smart cookies.
The common story is throughout your whole 20s, you're basically in a band, plugging away, playing all these shitty gigs or good gigs or however it goes. And then you've got nowhere to go from there. So it was awesome to hear that Bernard's actually built himself up into something using the metal scene and the music scene to gain some relevant experience and create his own business down the track. So he actually get something out of his time rather than just a couple of nice posters and memories or something like that. So make sure you spend your time well while you're doing music, because it's a rare opportunity to bolster your resume. And there's heaps of bands out there who will want you to do things, whether it be make videos for them, record them, do promo, marketing stuff, and it's all really relevant on your resume. If not, it's able to be turned into a business.
Yeah. So, even if you're doing free favors for mates, you're always learning things and it always is going to look good in the future. And Bernard's a prime example of someone who's kept proactive about it and dedicated and, has his goals and he's managed to smash them. So, you should too.
Claim the Throne, News and Gidge.
Claim the Throne, News and Gidge.
This week on Claim the Throne, News and Gidges, we've got a couple things to tell you about. You probably get sick of hearing them, but stick around because we've got a Redascending song coming up any minute. But our next show at this stage may actually be announced today if this is out on Monday. So keep your eyes peeled to hear us being announced on an interstate festival. Just keep an eye on facebook.com/claimthethrone. After that, what is announced at the moment is our support slot in Perth with Septic Flesh and Flesh God Apocalypse. That is happening on Sunday the 18th of May, the Amplifier Bar in Perth. And you can get cheap tickets directly from us. Normally the tickets are $59 plus booking fee plus postage, or at least $70 at the door. You can get yours discounted from us now, $55 with no add-ons apart from perhaps 50 cents postage or something. But you can get them from www.claimthethrone.com. We'll post them out to you straight away. Or you can go directly to the merch page, which is claimthethrone.bigcartel.com. But that will definitely be a massive show, so don't miss out.
Check us out on Twitter at CTT_AU, at AshThrone, at MrCabba. We share all sorts of relevant stuff and some irrelevant stuff.
A lot of irrelevant things. And also subscribe to us on iTunes. Just chuck Claim the Throne in your podcast app. You'll find all this stuff. Or you can stream them if you're not that way inclined. ClaimTheThrone.net. And we'll certainly have some more articles and blodges happening there very soon. Another big gig coming up in Perth this year, which you should keep your eyes on as well. Tickets are available now. It's called the Storm Rider Heavy Metal Festival. Lots of power and thrash metal happening at that one. and it does look like it will be happening every year, hopefully, so support it this time around. We've got a few awesome interstate bands coming, such as Black Majesty and Darker Half, who we are big fans of that band for sure. You've also got WA Silent Night up there, Mason, who are coming over from Victoria, Gorefield from Queensland, Enforce, Psychonaut, Cold Fate, Death Dependent, and Damnation's Day, I believe, also. So it will be a very good festival happening on May the 24th at the Civic Hotel in Perth, and you can get tickets now from Moshtix. So do it. They're not very expensive at all. I think they're about 20 25 bucks or something. Good deal.
The other thing in May, May's a pretty busy month. We've got the Death Dependent CD launch in Bunbury.
No, we don't.
What happened there?
I fucked up. It's David's wedding that day, so I'm really sorry about that. So unless you guys do want to do it and have John Ryan on vocals, something crazy, but I fucked up, man. Yesterday I was going through my calendar to put in the Adelaide show in my calendar, and then I was like, shit, I better put that Bunbury one in as well. And then I see it and I'm like, fuck.
So also not coming up on the 3rd of May.
And we do have some other gigs coming up that will be announced soon. So keep an eye on claimthethrone.com and on our Facebook page /claimthethrone and Twitter and all sorts of awesome social medias that you can find us on. Lastly, we'd like to plug something for the good cancer, our mate Amos Polglaze, who you may have heard his interview with us a few weeks back. If not, go back through the history and make sure you listen to it. He is a fan of ours and gave us a really good perspective of our band and the metal scene from a fan's point of view. All around good guy. He is being brave and doing the shave. He's going to be cutting off all his hair in order to raise money for leukemia. So you can find the link to donate to his worthy cause on our Facebook page. We'll be sharing it every now and again. So scroll back through, you'll find the direct link. But it is part of the world's greatest shave. So you can go to leukemiafoundation.org.au, search Amos Polglaze, and any amount of money that you can spare, you know, be it $5, $100, whatever, that would be real nice of you. And we'll keep plugging it on here each week. So that would be great if you can support that guy and his cause.
Are we going to hear a song from Bernard Shaw, Got No Four?
Totally do. Did he suggest one or should I do that? Seeing as we haven't edited the interview yet, we can't remember whether we asked Bernard what song to play.
We'll make it Burn to Death and then they can watch the video clip afterwards.
And this is from the Red Descending album Kingdoms, which is the latest album. The song is titled
Burn to Death.
Yeah!
She's hiding by the bay and the town with greed and fear. Now it blows in the gas and the form in her eyes, the eggs feel nothing. Crying in the corner and screaming for escape, and now what comes near? Now she was saved and not the family, and now how she's become.
Burn soul on the day when the devil dies on your brain. She now is and I just take it all away. And it's trying to grab you, back to see him and he rotting. Hospitally young with medical around, it's time to feel the hatred. Distant cries are pretty good cries. Shout now, now, now. The smell in the air is nothing but despair. Our way, life can't take you.